Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good evening, Blues, and welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast with myself, Mark Finnegan, and Mark Ellis.
Hello.
On tonight's show, we're going to be looking back at no less than five of Everton's last results, the whole month of September and the recent derby draw at Goodison Park. Mark, a lot has happened since we last met. It was around just after the transfer deadline window that we met at the end of August, and as I've just said, there's been five games since then. You've also been on holiday.
I have.
Got yourself a new job.
You haven't
binned your wife off as well, have you?
See, I've done a Rogers and traded her in for a newer model. Teeth are whitened. It's just a shame that, you know, no, the wife's still giving me a bit of shit, but it's all right. It'll be all right in the end. No, yeah, it's been a period of extreme transition.
It has.
Amazingly, stability on the pitch at Everton. No, it's only me that's been in transition.
Surprising, though, really, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Probably the last time we met, it was still very. I mean, it's still very early days now in the season, but
yeah,
we were having a bit of a meltdown because we didn't sign as many players as we'd liked in the deadline. But you know, results were relatively okay. We're just off the back of the Spurs draw, if I remember rightly, the last podcast
that's
we recorded.
Yeah.
Since then, an awful lot's happened, hasn't it? A lot to digest and a lot to get through tonight. So,
absolutely.
Did you manage to see the Blues whilst you were sunning yourself in Salou then?
I did. Found an awesome bar called the Robin Hood Bar, which had BN Sports on, and they just are the mecca for Premier League football and also League Cup football. I managed to catch all three games while I was over there. I was in pure, you know. I didn't sit there with my Everton shirt on because I think that's a bit corny. So that's just, but it was the best, great bar. I think it was only €2.20 a pint as well. So I mean, I found my home.
Bit of illegal streaming, Everton on the box and cheap San Miguel. Yeah,
that's it. Right? And the odd glass of sangria when the wife came in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, gotta keep her happy, haven't you? I get you smashed that stuff.
It does.
So you one of them who had, you know. Crocs on around the pool or socks and sandals.
Yeah. Yeah. I went for the white socks and the brown sandals for the first 2 days.
I bet you
just
did.
Just to keep the old sun off the feet. And then when it started getting acclimatised to the conditions, just went into sort of Fat Willy's mode then. Really.
Full English every morning. St George's flag draped over the balcony and all that. Yeah.
Put a couple of pen tattoos on my fist as well with a couple of crosses.
Loving that.
Yeah, a couple of Hawaiian shirts. I thought you just got to be an
English football fan of watching his country away from home. Yeah.
And complaining about the service, the allotments. Yeah. No, it was great. Good to be back though.
Yeah. Well, obviously. That's why we haven't been done as many podcasts as we like, because there's been a lot going on, hasn't there?
Yeah.
But now that you're back, and now that there's another international break. In fact, we were going into an international break the last time we recorded, so it's quite ironic that we find ourselves faced with another
one.
set of international fixtures. Never a nice time, is it? Like
horrible. I mean, no. I mean, it's great. It's always easier when you don't go into them on the back of a defeat. You know, that's for me. I always remember last season we got whacked by Chelsea 6-3. And I think we seemed to get beat last season every time there was an international break, so there was a lot of dwelling going on.
There's less time to put it right, isn't there?
Yeah, and this time, you get a draw, okay, not everyone's happy with the draw, but now you're thinking, 2 weeks, get the players back. We all seen the picture of the five lads in the main stand there. If we can get half of them back, then, you know, United are going to be in for a game, aren't they?
Like a boss football and boy band, they were in the main stand in the suits.
Like somebody's wet dream of a five-side football, wasn't it?
You almost forget that Pienaar still exists, to be honest, and Baines is just walking around with a big mop head and crutches. It feels like he hasn't played for years.
But he was looking like a 90s sort of Britpop star there in the stand, wasn't he? But I mean, to be honest, I mean, if you think how vital the combination of Baines and Pienaar was to us, it was the crux of sort of Moyes' Everton team, wasn't it? You know,
it was
we haven't really missed them, have we, as well? And that says a little bit about strength and depth, but it's Pienaar's made the glass these days, isn't he? Just wish he'd get on the pitch more.
The frightening thing about that picture, I thought, was you know, there was a couple that weren't even there.
Yeah.
You know, like so Cleverley wasn't there. Bezic nowhere to be seen. Morales is obviously suspended, but we'll come to the absentees a bit later then, Mark. But Tomata's on the pitch starting the month of September. It was a fantastic victory against Chelsea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think we should listen back to the highlights.
Absolutely.
Hopefully that'll do it justice. What a fantastic victory it was, Mark. And just listening back there, it brings it all fresh back into the memory, just how good those goals was and how complete that performance was against Chelsea.
Yeah, also the sort of the perfect hat-trick from Naismith as well. Had the left foot, right foot, you know, it was a brilliant performance, Evan, that day. There was no inferiority complex. There was, all right, Chelsea, you know, we all know how bad they are this season, but there's world-class players on that pitch. Everton were just brilliant that day, weren't they? They had a game plan, knew what they were going to do, and just had the confidence to go with it. That's what we've seen a lot of Everton this season. They've got a plan and they know what they're doing. You know what I think? In that game, it was just, you know, perfect, wasn't it? It wasn't Naismith as well. What stood out for me when I come out of that game was that Naismith didn't stand out as the man of the match for me. You know, he's got a hat trick and he's not jumping out as, you know, it was.
You could have given it to Stones, Jagielka. You know, you could have given it to Barry. Barkley.
Jagielka's been near world class this season. I think
he's been
absolutely. I know that sounds over the top, but he's been marvellous. Yeah, Gareth Barry and McCarthy have really got their act together as well. It was a great performance. It's perfect to go on with that 3-1.
What a time! Yeah, you're getting on that plane, buzzing with that. But I think probably a lot of us didn't see it coming because. Fair enough, Chelsea are having a bad spell. I want your thoughts on that as well, Mark, in a minute. But, I mean, we just blew them away and we came right out the blocks. And, you know, Naismith, let's be honest, the past 6 months, he hasn't really cut the mustard. He hasn't done much.
No.
He was in and out the side towards the end of last season.
Yeah.
But credit to the lad, you know, it was a perfect hat-trick. From the first goal where he linked up well with Galloway, who's been another star performer.
Yeah.
Great little knock in, great header, and then from then on in, we never looked back. I mean, they got a goal back and obviously give us a bit of worry going into half time, or was it just Yeah, it was half time, sorry, wasn't it? But you know, we were Naismith first and second, really. The wind was in our sails, and we just looked like we were going to blow them away. Mourinho was having a meltdown on the touchline, and and then obviously with the third goal, it was very much deserved second half, and probably put the icing on the cake in terms of a complete team performance.
Yeah, he's right. It was a classic Gladys Street goal there as well, the third one, you know, highlighted Barkley's sort of prominence into the team. A useful, he's starting to contribute big time now, isn't he, to, you know, where it matters, assists and goals. Great run by Naismith. Chelsea fell asleep, and it sort of put me back. I had a flashback, not like it, but I had a flashback to when Kevin Campbell scored against Coventry, I think on his debut or something like that, near post. You know, that type of finish.
Yeah.
Just a Gladys Street finish. I remember going, I was about 11 nose down from my seat where that went. Just had to get a sat now to find me way back after that one went in, but it was brilliant.
It was, it was a great game.
And it was a bit of, you know, killed Chelsea flat.
It was like being the early kickoff and being on the telly as well. It was like, you know, this is what Everton can actually do, and showing off to the world.
Spot on, and everyone was watching it, and you're right, it's the first game on a Saturday. Everyone's interested in Chelsea anyway with what's going on with them. But for me, the best thing about winning on a Saturday early is then you can then watch everyone else fight. You know, you've done your job, and then you can just embrace the whole weekend of football knowing we've done our business first off. No, fantastic result, brilliant result.
It was, and it was a great way to start the month, and obviously get back to winning ways after the Spurs draw. Just on Chelsea, Mark, what do you think's happened there?
I think there's major... Well, if I'm thinking, it seems to go back to Eva Canero and what was going on. And they haven't started the season great, but, you know, Eden Hazard faded an injury a little bit there, didn't he? Or, you know, wasn't injured. Then he ran out. And there was murder with Canero. She'd been sacked and left. Seems to have been... That's had the sort of Alan Shearer, Barkley card effect on Newcastle. The same thing's happened to Chelsea. But then I honestly don't think the players are trying for Mourinho anymore. I think he's humiliated too many of them too many times. Mm. Took John Terry off at half time, didn't he, in the Carling Cup, I think. And then I just think if you listen to Mourinho's interview, he struck you as a guy who's losing his marbles.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone from being amusing and entertaining to no one's interested anymore, are they? You know. He's almost too clever for his own good, or he's too... There's no amusement in his moaning anymore. There used to be, but now, I don't know. For me, I don't think them players... When you look at Fabregas and I think it was William chasing back Stephen Davis on Sunday, them things you notice, that tells me the players aren't playing for him, I don't think.
Well, there's questions. I mean, you've got the thing with the physio, haven't you?
Yeah.
And then... I don't know. There's talk about Pedro not being his signing, and obviously they had the John Stones saga. Diego Costa's got discipline and injury problems. Fabregas, I don't think, has been in form for about a year. Correct me if I'm wrong, many Chelsea fans listening. Yeah. That's my take on it from an outsider. Ivanovic's form has just basically gone to shit.
Seems to go out the window when Terry's not in the team. I know he was back,
then
but...
You've got Terry, all of that... basically fiasco of it. You know, even though he played every minute of every league game last season and was one of the star performers, he's out the side now. It seems to be across the team, there seems to be just a real loss in confidence, and maybe he has lost the dressing room, or there's been too many, you know, internal issues. Well, it just seems to have gone from bad to worse, because you'd think, Chelsea are beatable, every side's beatable, but usually the likes of Chelsea and that, they bounce back, don't they? Like City, they had a couple of poor results, and then he bounced back and smashed Newcastle, didn't he? That's what the bigger sides do, and the more successful sides. But Chelsea
reminded me of Man United under Moyes. Yeah. Everyone now fancies it, don't they? You know,
rudderless.
Rudderless. It was like when Moyes took over at United, it was like when your normal teacher's off and your relief teacher come in. Relief, I hate saying that word. But, you know, the kids are more, you know, they take the piss a lot more. And it seems like that's happened. People just fancy it now. And you can tell Southampton fancy Darren Sunday. But talking about Chelsea, I think it's karma for the way they went after Stones in the summer. They orchestrated. I think it's perfect karma. Come back to a nicer team.
I think we'll that end sentence there. We'll talk enough about them, and that probably sums it up.
I just think what goes around comes around. They thought they could take the piss, and after school they had a bully with us. And, you know, they didn't get what they wanted, and now they're having a dose of their own medicine.
I know, yeah. Well, nice. Does this mean that there's a top four place up for grabs now?
Hey, I'm looking Crystal Palace. And who else is up there? Leicester.
Leicester.
Why can't we go for Champions League?
Palace, place? Leicester and West Ham, I think, are the three sides above us, and, you know, they've all apparently had great starts. Well, they have, to be fair, but by their own standards. So, you know, Everton aren't doing too badly.
Been understated in the media, which I prefer. But
I think we're probably a win or another win or two. Maybe we would have, you know, beat Liverpool on Sunday or beat Swansea.
Yeah.
Or maybe it might take us to go to get a result against United or go to Arsenal and get a result for people to take note.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at them two games, I'm excited. Last season, I would have feared playing them the way we were, because we were off from the start. But this season, although it's not all perfect, there's a lot of improvement.
There's a sense about us, though. You know, I can't be one bit critical. There are things that we can improve on, of course. Things that everyone can improve on. But there seems like an aura around Everton at the moment where we know what this is, the right path to go down. You know what I mean? I think I'm a lot more relaxed about Everton this season than I was last season.
Defensively, we've sorted ourselves out. In the middle, we're more organised. Up front, we're full of vigour. We've got the likes of Delafoe, Barkley, and matter, you know, Lukaku's anti-Lukaku fan club, he's firing, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's got 5 goals already this season, assists. Kone's weighing in with goals. Naismith's weighing in.
And Kone's looking a good player. Yeah. For me, Kone should have come on or started a lot.
And there's about 6 or 7 regulars who we talked about before who either can't get a game or they're injured or suspended. So you think if they all start to come back to fitness and form for the Christmas period when there's loads more games, you know, it's exciting, isn't it?
And not half. That start is the toughest run we've got all season. So if we can negotiate the next two games, United, if we could even get that, take 3 points, it's just, all right, we have to lose one.
I'm seeing you looking at the fixtures, Mark. You're getting a bit sweaty, aren't you? Jumping off your seat.
And I'm looking at 9 points out of 4 games there.
I think after the Sunderland game, you've got like Bournemouth and West Ham and Villa.
I mean? And also, if you look at the teams like that, probably putting the hex on it now, but the sort of the shit teams have got even worse. Do you know what I mean? They haven't stepped up, have they? Villa look horrendous, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, he signed, what, 8-9 players? And all, like, the pro can wait to be saying, see, you wanted all these kind of players. That's another issue. But for me, Villa just look a lot worse, don't they?
The thing is, when you're moaning about Ken Wright and that, you're not asking them to spend hundreds of millions on players. You're asking them just to sort of have a clue.
A modest amount. Yeah. Modest is all I'm after.
Yeah, or not just have to beg, steal and borrow. But anyway, that's for another night. But the week after the Chelsea game, Mark, we went to Swansea. Now, they have never beat us in the league, have they?
I find that staggering, to be honest.
Apart from a year ago when the League Cup, Drubben, was it 4-0?
3-0. 3-0. Yeah, they mauled us. That was like a classic Everton League Cup, not interested night.
And then last season we drew 1-1. Remember Coleman gave that penalty where Aaron Lennon scored, and we drew 1-1 with them. That was in the middle of our purple patch in March.
It was.
We won five or six. So we went to Swansea, and we won't dwell on it too much because it wasn't the most exciting game. But
Lukaku should have buried it.
Lukaku probably should have had about 5. He was very wasteful. And to be fair to Rom, he usually sticks one away, even if he is having a bad afternoon.
Yeah.
We were by far the better side. I don't know, Swansea fans might say, oh, well, you know, you couldn't break us down or whatever. I thought Ashley Williams was brilliant.
Absolutely.
We were just wasteful. And I was disappointed not to get all 3 points, but it was our third clean sheet away on the bounce.
Our
fifth point from 3 away games against Southampton, Spurs,
and Swansea. Teams who we all lost to last season, apart from Swansea, we drew.
And with all due respect, there was positives to take from it.
There's been positives to take from every game. We haven't been perfect in every game, apart from Chelsea, which I think was close. There's been, even though we haven't been playing great, we've looked good enough. Do you know what I mean? Even at West, you know, where we've been crap, or West Brom.
Or Barnsley.
Or
Reading.
At no point did I think we were going to lose them games, whereas last season, we would have gone out with a whimper.
Yeah.
West Brom would have ended up 2-0 last season, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think this season, there's an inevitability to our play that it's going to come to something. You know what I mean? I wasn't worried when we went a goal down on Sunday.
I think one of the turning points was probably the news that Stones was staying.
Yeah.
But that night, we come back at Barnsley as well. Now, people might laugh at that, but I just feel from then, since then, we've taken our confidence and, yeah, it's not, by all means, it's not perfect and we should be turning more draws into wins, and we've actually performed to the levels where it probably does warrant more wins than draws, but I just feel like that was a statement.
Well, if...
And I agree with you, even when we are playing poor, we're still coming away with results.
Yeah, and we're still carving out chances. We create chances in every game. Even West Brom, awful first half. Should have been 1-0 up, first of all, you know, with Barkley. But I think that day, you're absolutely spot on. If you remember right, that day was when Stones handed in his transfer request. And he was getting all that. He was getting a bit of stick from the fans, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And at 2-0, had that gone south, our season could have gone south with it. You know, because it was all negative. I was screaming at Kenry, normal stuff. 2-0 down, meltdowns. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, then Stone stays. Don't know for how long, but we'll take it for now. Everton win the game 5-3. And complete 360-degree turn on our season, it seems, from that point on. I know it's only Barnsley, but we've seemed to have sucked that on, haven't we, from that game?
I think that second half against Barnsley, we saw a reaction from the players since then. And I think this season we've saw a reaction of trying to keep the group together, adding one or two, and kicking on and surprising and addressing the faults of last season where we were defensively frail. We were fruitless going forward at times, and the likes of Barkley, you know, was being slated left, right and centre, had no confidence. The same with Gareth Barry. You could even say it about James McCarthy and others like that.
McCarthy was underwhelming for large parts of the start of this season, to be honest with you. But this is where people don't give Martinez any credit, because they're quick to jump on him. And I've had a few people say to me, he's fluky, Naismith was, you know. But that's good managers, I don't know, deserve a bit of luck sometimes. Or, you know, but I think Martinez deserves an awful lot of credit for the way the defence has performed this season. And he's only strengthened it with Morey, really, hasn't he? He's lost two. Then, if you think about the form of, certainly Gareth Barry is another one who's been excellent, to be honest, hasn't he, for large parts. Ross Barkley looks a completely different player, and Martinez doesn't seem to get any credit for this, does he? You know, it's all work that he's doing behind the scenes with his coaching staff or whatever. So I do think he's set up a really nice foundation for the start of the season.
I agree, and I think the likes of what you said about Jagielka. Don't forget, for large parts of last season he was poor. He got player of the season in the end because he improved and he got his act together. And you know, people questioned his leadership and his captaincy of this club. But if you want an ambassador for Everton FC, it's Phil Jagielka this season. He's been, to quote Roberto, phenomenal.
He has. He's been, I think, and I'm not being biased or a typical Evertonian talking shite. He's got to be up there with Europe's best centre-backs.
He's got to be in English. You look at them English internationals coming up and you name that squad,
right? He's streets ahead of anyone Chelsea's got.
Gary Cahill.
Terry.
Shawcross. Smalling. Jones. There's not hardly any English centre-backs out there, to be fair.
No.
Who is there? You know what I mean?
It's Shagilka. He's not a vocal captain. He's not Gary Wackett off Mike Bassett. He's not going to home knock someone out, which is a good thing. But he's a captain who leads by example, by the way he plays.
He gets himself in the way.
He's just been... That defence on... You know, we had every right to be worried.
Yeah.
With our derby block and three out of the back four who haven't played in the derby before. You know, we were set up to fall there. And they were all marvellous, but Jagielka was just... brilliant.
He streets ahead of a lot of defenders in this country, never mind Europe. Yeah,
streets ahead.
And as it goes back to, we were quick to criticise these players and the manager last season, and it is only early days this season. Don't get me wrong, but you know the signs are good, and I'm actually refreshed to sit here and talk confidently about them for once. So, but the Swansea game, Mark. Just touching on that, we should have won.
Yes.
And maybe that's where we're lacking a bit of cutting edge and finishing sides off. But you know,
I think that's going to come as the season goes on. I really do.
As I say, mentioned them players before. Get more players back, more options from the bench, and we can maybe kill teams off. Morales, moments of stupidity at the end of that game. I was watching it on a dodgy stream, probably like you and Salute, but sunny old Swan.
Yeah,
and as soon as he made the tackle, I thought he's gone over the ball. The ref will but yeah. Red card him, and I can't think we've got any complaints about that.
No, I had mixed emotions at the time. He was an idiot for doing it, stupidity, but then I had a bit of sympathy for him as well, because being brought on in the 91st minute of 2 minutes injury time, I think it was, or three, he's going to be pissed off. And he's reacted poorly to what's going on. Mahrez bringing him on with 2 minutes left. I think it's purely that. He's expected to get more game time there.
It's his birthday today, so maybe he's wanted a little break anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
But it was a moment of stupidity, probably some frustration in it because he's not getting as much game time.
I think it was purely that. It was, he can't defend it, it was stupid, you know, he's just lost his cool then, hasn't he?
But we draw a line on it and move on. It was another point, another clean sheet.
Yeah.
Then we went to Reading. Now, for me, Mark, this had echoes of the Barnsley game in the way the game panned out to a lesser extent.
Absolutely. Reading were a team on the up as well, because they'd picked up a couple of great results in the Championship, and I've been in the top three now, or four even. What made it hard for me was I was in this bar, and my sort of family had deserted me they didn't stay with me, and there was three, believe it or not, Reading fans in there, right? But they could not have been more David Cameron, Tory boy, that picture that you see on, they were pure like that. So I was never going to get any, but they were celebrating first, and I thought, again, I wasn't worried. I was sort of, you know, as you get older and you start to see these years go by where we don't win a trophy, you go and go down the League Cup, you tend to think a lot deeper these days. We can't go out for another competition, you need to. But Reading, again, it was a bit of a nothing first half. Reading looked more likely than us, and that was about Wednesday.
I thought that Blackman, he had a couple of chances first half, to be fair, and I thought they looked more up for it. We just didn't really get into gear, did we?
No.
They were probably, you reckon, I'd say they deserved the 1-0 lead.
Absolutely, yeah, they did. And it wasn't to say they were brilliant, it was just we didn't look at the races at all. It was, again, so many first halves where we haven't been at it, you know. But again, there was no panic, I didn't think at any point we were going out of the competition. I thought maybe we'd take it to extra time. I didn't expect us to maybe win it in the 90, but Reading, they visibly tired, didn't they, as the game went on? You could see that. They'd obviously put a lot into the first half, you know, trying to close us down and what have you. And Evans, sort of, as all Premier League teams should do against Championship, is wear them down. That's what happened.
Barkley got his third goal, Mark.
Brilliant goal.
Obviously, we'll talk more in depth about Barkley in a bit, but
yeah,
was a brilliant goal, wasn't it? And shows sort of different style goal for Barkley. Left foot for a start.
Left foot, crowded penalty area. You know, could have took a ricochet, could have anything.
The type of goal that Lukaku would score, like I say.
Yeah.
Similar sort of area, you know. Pops it in on the volley or the half volley.
It was a beautiful strike on his left foot. And normally Ross Barkley's left foot shots have been clearing the stand this season, haven't they? You know?
Knocked me a few times out.
That's three pairs of glasses you've had to buy this season on account of Ross Barkley shooting. But no, Specsavers discount aside.
That's just because I'm pissed all the time when I drop them. No, but following that, Mark, I thought we looked like we were only going to be one winner.
Yeah.
Even like when Barnsley, you know, when we went up 3-2 up at Barnsley and they got it back to 3-3, thought, nah, we're going to win this.
Yeah, because
I know it took extra time to do it, but
there was we were just far too, and it seemed like we need that goal to then get the confidence into our attacking play, doesn't it? You know, the same with West Brom. We just, the minute we got it to 2-1, you know, but like I was talking about, we just seemed inevitable that we're going to get something out of the game.
We can click into a third gear.
Yeah, that's it.
Or whereas last season,
we didn't even have a gear box. Yeah. Now we're going through the gears when we need to.
Yeah, I like that, Mark. Yeah. I like that. Might tweet that in there, Robert.
People say, well, where was the gear box at Liverpool? If it's getting mended, it'll be ready for United.
Yeah. But we did improve second half. Obviously, Barkley scored and then Delafoe scored and Al Habsi had a bit of a Tim Howard moment, didn't he?
Absolutely. It was Paul Gerrard saved that for me. That was more. Yeah, Tim Howard probably would have jumped over it, I think. But to be honest, when he hit it, I thought, what a great free kick. But it was an average free kick that he should have sit round and said.
I was made up for Delafoe, though. You could just see that he loves celebrating.
He was made up, and there's nothing better than celebrating away from home in front of your own
fans. And a late winner against all them yeah. Tory twat.
Well, pure. Yeah, I was sat next to them all in the pub, you know. Yeah. And they've got no emotion, have they? You know, it was like, it's a bit like Luton in the 85s, you know, all wearing the straw hats, the red and stripey is that type.
Yeah.
Soccer AM lovers, maybe. Yeah.
They're not like us real football fans,
no,
eh, Mark?
No, going to work every day, haven't even watched Soccer AM since Lovejoy left. And I was about 18 then.
So that was Reading, and obviously we left it late again.
Yeah.
But we were through, and I think we're just crying out for it. At the end of the day, it's
another pivotal result.
It's a one game in the League Cup, and you know, obviously, if you, like we went to extra time in Barnsley, but the result is decided on the night.
Yeah.
And we go now, and we've got Norwich at home, and every chance to progress there.
Every chance. Let's hope we just don't ever end that it and get beat 1-0 or something like that. But, you know, we beat Norwich again. People are thinking,
well, Wembley. Yeah, you know,
they're thinking of Wembley already, aren't they?
I don't care what, yeah, I don't care what happens against United and Arsenal. I want to see us play Lukaku up front, or, you know, if he's knackered, play. Don't start throwing in Leon Osman and, you know, and holding midfield.
Play the strongest team.
And yeah, some other random kid. Or kid
Rodriguez is like, he's
I don't mind players getting included, and I don't mind seeing people get a chance, Mark, but
now,
as
we
go back to this trophy drought, I want to see us really go full throttle to win this cup.
The League Cup should be our absolute priority.
But there's no reason why it shouldn't be.
No, you're right, and the FA Cup doesn't even start till we could be in the semi-final by the time the FA Cup rolls around, couldn't we?
Exactly.
Or dare I say the final, because the final's in February or something like
finals
that.
Finals in February, I think, or March at the latest. Obviously, we don't go into the FA Cup until January. So
he really needs to grasp this, and I think he has, but one trophy in the League Cup, God, well, for a start, it'd end our League Cup misery.
Yeah.
And then, like, it could prove a catalyst to other, because then the players will get a taste of what winning a trophy's like, and that brings you up a whole new level, doesn't it, you know?
I'd love it. I'd honestly love it if they could do it. And, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No.
There's still plenty of games to
but
go.
But beat Norwich, mate. Evertonians will be checking Virgin train tickets. You know, it doesn't say much to check them anyway. But, but they'll be booking time off work already, I guess.
Well, you know, I hope our fans do get excited, and I hope that they are given the chance to get back to Wembley. And
no greater fan base who deserve a bit of success than us, because, you know, I don't really go away from home myself a lot now and again, but we've got just the best away.
Blood, sweat and tears, they're always there in the thousands, you know,
we could be playing Dijon on a Monday night and they'll be there, 5,000. Got work at 3 o'clock. 3 a.m. got to be awake.
God knows what most of them do for a living, but
I think they follow
the bosses must be
if
genuine.
We could get in on that.
Yeah.
Start getting paid for following Everton, I'll be there every week.
Yeah.
No, full credit to them. They're a credit to us.
So, the Reading game, our away fans were treated to a nice late winner.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of late winners, we move on to the West Brom game, Mark. And just as an exciting fashion like the Chelsea game, let's relive those moments against West Brom. Was it? It was a week ago now, wasn't it? Last
week ago, my last day on holiday.
Fantastic, great little reverse ball by Lukaku. Aruna Corner made a great run just across the back four. All the time in the world. Keeper, no chance whatsoever. I'd have been disappointed if he'd have missed it. All the time in the world. But what a reverse ball this is. Is he offside?
No. Level.
He's level. Great run. Barkley picks out Gareth Barry, central position. Barry to James McCarthy. De La Feo wants it playing wide. De La Feo gets it. Gets the ball inside the penalty area. Lukaku, yes, in there. Is it a goal?
Yes,
yes, it is. Romelu Lukaku scored again. And it's Gerard De La Feo who set it up again.
Gets it.
Gerard De La Feo sets up Romelu Lukaku. And the Toffees behind the goal have gone absolutely berserk. De La Feo again just got it out of his feet. He's upset the West Brom defences. It's another early ball in there. Rodden's got in. I'm thinking he's just going to go wide here. He's reacted again and just slotted it back in. But early ball again, De La Feo. What a ball.
It was a great ball. And to be honest, Delafoni, it's a big mention with that name, that game, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
He was absolutely brilliant. And I mean, again, similarly to what we're talking about, like going back to the Reading game, the Barnsley game to a lesser extent, first half performances completely opposite the second half.
Yeah.
West Brom, again, we couldn't really get out of here first 45, could we?
Not at all. I think West Brom are one of the worst teams in the league. We'll have them watch them. They're so negative and all that. But Everton didn't get going at all. Although, there was a couple of moments where we broke forward, telephone with an awesome ball in for Barkley. He really should have swept it.
It wasn't it?
I mean, he should have just...
You couldn't decide what footed, isn't it?
But the ball was that good. He only had to run onto it right footed. You know, but no, you're right. But you could see Everton were desperately trying to get telephone into the game, but they just couldn't get the ball to him. You know, quite a few times he was, you know, cut along the figure out there, but then on the break, we just, you know, they snuffed it out or they blocked him. He just couldn't get in.
The ball spent a lot of time in the middle, didn't it, with Everton, with Barry seeing a lot of the ball, but with Barry on the ball, you're not really going to create anything, are you?
No. Not really. As good as Barry's been this season, it's not going to happen, but, it's, you know, West Brom's goal wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for a mistake on our part, really.
Well, Howard threw it out, didn't he? And Barry took it. He passed it to Mori.
Yeah.
Are we going to call him Mori or Funes or?
Funes.
Funes Mori.
Yeah. Mori sounds good, fellas. I just pictured good De Niro with the phone wire around his head and the wig coming off. we'll go with Funes.
He ended up with the ball, didn't he, near the touchline?
Yeah.
It's took out with a clean tackle. And then a ball which looked like a pea roller seemed to split our defence. And then Berahino slots it past Howard, but I mean.
Yeah,
most people do slot it past Howard, don't they?
You're disappointed if you don't slot it past Howard. It was a good finish. I think it took a nick off Howard's leg, didn't it? It could easily have gone over the bar. But it went in just under the bar. But
I mean, that goes in, and then you're like, oh, we're gonna be in for another disappointing night. I mean, we beat them in relatively ease last season, 2-0, didn't we? Lukaku scored.
That was when we thought our season was going to turn around after that.
We beat Wolfsburg in the same week.
That's right, yeah. But it was with relative ease. And to be honest, although the score went to 3-2, this win was just as comfortable in that sense. Do you know what I mean? We weren't pinned back. We weren't under pressure. They had a couple of chances and they scored two of them. One of them was
Berahino scores and then obviously it was half time and then Dawson scored after the break, didn't
he?
I think you said to me before we started recording, I'm just sick of us conceding headers from corners, and because we were talking about the Liverpool game, and it's true, isn't it? It was a good corner, to be fair. It was whipped over, like, and he put his header away well. But
great ball in, but you know, Barkley should have really dealt with that. He lost him. I mean, you know, maybe I think it's a good idea that Barkley doesn't go in for corners. He's not switched on.
He's not really cut out for that side.
No,
of the game. Everyone has to defend, but
yeah, I think they need to be sorting that out. Maybe put Barkley on the covering the short corner because he's clearly. But you know, it was a great ball in. You can't defend them all, and you know, it was a simple header at the back, wasn't it, by Dawson?
But again,
it sounds easy to say now after the result, but at the time, I just didn't think. I didn't think we were going to lose the game. I knew we'd come back into it.
I remember watching it thinking, oh, here we go. And then almost instantly, we got the goal back.
Yeah.
And I think I tweeted, I said, this is game on this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not saying I was right, but it, when we got that goal back, you just sensed that. It's like Everton sensed blood at the moment.
Yeah, they
and
do.
They're going after the prey. I know it sounds a bit daft, but
no, you're right, though.
If they
yeah.
get a goal or they go a goal behind, it's almost like kicks them into life.
Yeah, it's the same can be said for last Sunday where, you know, we scored in the second half, not to the same level, but we looked, you know, like we're going to score again. We just, that goal gives us the confidence. And the minute it went 2-1, I think even West Brom knew that there was far too much time left in the game. You know, they weren't good enough to see us out, and we had the bit between our teeth. But
and then after that,
yeah,
come off the man, come off the man, Aruna Kone off the bench, and Darren Gibson. It's good to see he took some time away from late night drives to the petrol station. I have to get that in there.
What does he do these days? I couldn't. If you were to ask me his occupation, I'm not sure I could tell you what it is.
Of all the players brought on a Monday night against West Brom, he hasn't been seen.
If you remember,
I don't know how long.
This happened last season. He just appeared out of nowhere against Chelsea, didn't he? Do you remember? And the same thing happened. But to be honest, Magnus got his substitutions again. No credit. Spot on.
But the thing is,
Coney was apart from his goal, was absolutely brilliant, wasn't he, in his play.
McCarthy, Barry, if he's bringing on, I know Bezic is unavailable, bringing on a Bezic.
Yeah.
Or is he unavailable? What's up
with him? With Bezic?
Is he injured?
Yeah.
None of them have really got a forward pass, whereas Gibson, we saw it at times last season when he got himself fit.
Yeah.
He's always thinking forward. What was the time when he hooked the ball forward to Goodison? Was that against United?
Against United, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah,
and
I think so.
He's always looking to put someone in.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, it was a real positive double substitution
for
Roberto.
It didn't look positive, but it was, because people don't... They underestimate. I think a lot of people underestimate what Gibson brings to a team. Gibson is far more useful on the pitch than he is driving at night, but you know, when he's playing like that... But I thought the substitutions, he got no credit for them whatsoever, and I thought they were, you know, they changed the game. Well, Coney was just... marvellous, wasn't he? Honest, I mean to say it, I don't mean to be dry.
You would never think though 6 months ago that we'd be sitting here praising Coney.
No, he's picking the ball up, he's looking up, he's spraying it, he's passing it, he's getting in the box.
Look at his link up play against Chelsea for the air.
Yeah.
The second goal, Naismith's goal, you know, in a Lukaku.
Yeah.
He didn't put a foot wrong with that. He's getting involved, he's getting goals, he's chipped in with I think he's got a couple of assists.
And you can tell him and Lukaku enjoys playing with him, you can tell that.
That's it.
Know?
And Lukaku obviously was the one to come short on this occasion, and I thought he's done brilliantly, Lukaku. Now, to be fair, we'll talk a bit more about Lukaku in a bit, but
yeah.
He was getting absolutely slated on Twitter for the first 45 minutes to an hour, I would even say,
yeah.
Lukaku. But the thing is, with him, you slate him and then he gets two goals and an assist, you know what I mean? And that's that Kone goal, he was brilliant. His hold up play and then his little, just a little ball in. Kone would be daft to miss that.
Yeah.
And he put it away. But then again, after that, we sent blood, we carried on, didn't we?
We didn't rest on our laurels. We didn't say, that's fine, we'll take a point and move 2-0 down. You know, we weren't happy until we got the 3 points. So, you know, like you say, Lukaku, it was the goal that helped Lukaku, clearly. He clearly is striking the feet of goals, isn't he? So, you know, look at his general play on Sunday was his best performance in an Everton shirt.
He was unplayable Sunday,
but
against Chelsea, he didn't get on the score sheet, and Swansea missed a shed load of chances. But then, you know, Reading,
yeah,
in the cup, he was involved there. West Brom, he gets himself a couple of goals against Liverpool. So, you know, you'd fancy him now against United's defence, wouldn't you?
Not half. Not
it's just a shame we've got the international break first.
I know, we can't just meet them head on, but then also gives us the chance to get Stones, Coleman, Morales and all that back.
Yeah.
And get them firing. But also,
definitely.
I think Lukaku, he does this, doesn't he? He looks so lethargic, lazy, you want to call him all kinds, but you cannot take him off. He's a constant goal threat. You know, I don't know what people want from Lukaku. They want a silky first touch rather than goals, it seems. Evertonians, they'd rather him have a first touch than goals. Like I keep saying on Twitter, and I've made up myself for thinking of it, but I just keep saying it's not his first touch I'm interested in, it's his last.
Well,
in front of goal, you know what I mean? He's a goal scorer.
He is, and to be honest, Mark, I said this the other day about the derby, right? Someone said, and I heard them clearly say it, come on, Lukaku, do something useful. after about an hour against Liverpool, and I was
really?
I felt like getting off. I just felt like getting off, right? Because the thing is, you could spend all day arguing on Twitter about it, and there's someone who just comes with a comment, and you're like, I'd rather just try and have a convo with them or something, because you never get anywhere on Twitter. No. I said, although, you know, he tired in the end against Liverpool, and yeah, he did miss a chance in the second half. I thought that was one of his best performances in Everton shirt. People are replying to me saying, why? Because he scored the equaliser and held the ball up a few times.
That's insulting your intelligence.
But what do you want? If you watch that match and you can't see how unplayable Lukaku was on Sunday against Liverpool, then for me, you're blind, honestly.
Yeah, for me, you've got too much of an agenda against him, for whatever reason, so that even when he plays like that, which I agree with you, it was his best performance in an Everton shirt, no problem, then what's that say? You're giving the lad no chance at all. You know, the guy's 1-2, almost. Now, when was the last time we had a striker who scored 1-2? I can't think. You're going back to Lineker, aren't you? You're going back to Yakubu that season when he scored
20. Who do you want?
I don't know what...
People used to slate Beattie because he wouldn't run around. Strachwalese came and he won the hearts of a lot of our fans. But ultimately, he was shite. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he'll run all day, and he's got a couple of goals. But the thing is, with Lukaku, he's got that much potential, and he's already shown it, because look at his statistics.
Yeah.
He's probably scored more than 30 goals for Everton now. 5 already this season, last season.
He's over 40-odd for Everton.
And he's 22? He's not even 22, is he?
Yeah.
And physically, he's obviously... I don't know whether people are blinded by the fact that they think he's about 28.
I think it's because, you know... Because this board, and I'm not going on a rant about this, thinking so small that we spend 28 million quid now. So people are expecting Messi, they're expecting Suarez, because Everton went out and spent 28 million quid. Liverpool pissed 29 million on Firmino, it's not even noticed. But because we're not used to it, because they have gone big with a buy once, then people are expecting, I don't know what they want. But his first touch doesn't strike me as being that bad either. What about his set-up play for the corner? It is. He does look lazy at times. I'm not going to totally be blind to that. He does. But I don't... The criticism. The guy presents a 90-minute constant goal threat to the opposition. They cannot rest while he's on that pitch.
And, you know, and whilst he's on that pitch, you've got to keep faith with him. You've got to wait.
Because one chance.
Yeah. And against Swansea, he had a bit of a bad time.
It does.
But the game previous to that, he played a key role in Everton, wiping the floor with Chelsea, his former club. He bullies defenders. He's so awkward to play against. He's not a Franny Jeffers where he's going to run around like a lunatic. You know what I'm not saying? Franny Jeffers is the most energetic, but he hasn't got that sort of pace. He has got pace and power. But people need to understand that. Yeah, maybe his attributes aren't in his football and play in terms of his link-up or his hold-up play. But he's not in that team. He's in that team to frighten defenders. He scores different types of goals, to be fair to the lad. Right foot, left foot, headers. It's proven that in the past week.
So in his last 3 goals alone.
And that lad, he got his off the shit a lot of times last season back. And that goes unnoticed. Everton were poor last season, and he ends up with 20 goals.
Everton were bottom... We're as shite as they've ever been under Martinez last season, and I think it was Christmas time, West Ham at home, and the cup stands out. He was one of a few players who stood up and really tried to drag us out of that shit. You know, and you got to give the guy some credit. I mean, for me, if you slack...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, I forgot a guy with his, you know, with a threat and who's playing the way he is and his goal scoring record, then there's no chance for anyone, is there?
I think a lot of the criticism's unjust. Are people... I think Evertonians always look for scapegoats. They could probably say that about me. I do, you know.
Yeah.
I tend to rant about the same players, but at the end of the day, I support them. I'm man enough to admit it. Like when I slated Tim Howard 1 week, then he has man of the match against Tottenham. I came out and said,
"Yeah, you got it.
We're a team, and we win as a team, we lose as a team. But the thing is, I think it comes down to an agenda, and it's an Everton striker, and whoever's playing up front for Everton, people want to see the world from them. Well, this lad's 21, 22.
Yeah.
Big price tag come on his shoulders. Big pressure of playing for Everton. Oh, at the moment, we're not that good. You know what I mean? We're doing better this season, but we're not, you would say, a top side in the league.
No.
And, you know...
We're not exactly playing... We weren't playing free-flowing football last season.
Exactly. Were you need players behind...
20
goals. You need players like, obviously, Kone, Barkley, Delafoe in form.
Yeah.
He didn't have them three in form last season, did he? He didn't have Delafoe at the club. Coney was crocked, Barkley was nervous, Morales was in and out the side. So if you've got these players, and you know, Pienaar, Morales come back, Tom Cleverley comes back, you'll see even more from Lukaku this season. I can guarantee it.
Like better players.
Yeah. So I should be his agent, the way I'm going on about
I honestly feel
passionate about it. I feel it's very easy for fans to just slate the lad.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of him. And I appreciate the fact that what he does for Everton.
Yeah.
And we all have every single one of them players has the faults, and he does look a bit lethargic. But you know, he's 6'4", he's about 20 stone. You know what I mean? He's not always going to look like a spring chicken, is he? Anyway.
He's not.
He got the winner.
Yeah.
And two goals and an assist, Mark. Not a bad return against another one of his former clubs.
Absolutely not. In one half of football as well. You know, for me, that the winner was great persistence by Lukaku, but the ball in was so good. That Delafoe deserved the goal, didn't he? Just for the ball in alone. I mean, he had Blunt that worried with his pace on the outside. Blunt did not know what to do with him at all. So it gave Delafoe the option and the space of putting it in early, which he'd done frequently, didn't he? You know, so
with them balls over, Mark, he tends to just put this dip on it and it just bounces and it can go anywhere.
It bounced on the 6-yard box and the keeper was like checkmate. The keeper didn't know what to do. I mean, not often you see a keeper not react to a ball in, you know, at all. It was just the quality on the ball in that made that goal. And to be honest, I thought he'd overrun it and it went out for a goal kick, but there was just enough pitch.
He sticks it in, and I mean, there was still a bit of time left, and
brilliant reaction from the Everton fans. There's nothing better than an away goal.
Our fans, you see some fans on the telly, don't you? They don't seem to celebrate that much, or they just look very conservative in their approach to a goal. Not our fans.
We are grateful for every single
one. You're grateful for waking up without a bruise if you go away with our fans.
Kneecaps done in.
But Ricky Lambert missed the sitter, Mark. We could have pegged us back, but wasn't so big.
Last season maybe would have gone in that. That was a classic Everton moment, wasn't it? Just when you think, you know, you're on top of the world, then the ball comes in and it finds him 6 yards out. It was as good as an open goal, that, wasn't it? Should have buried it. But thankfully, it hasn't worked out for him ever since he's been gleeing about moving to Liverpool, has it? But it was a bad miss, that.
We held out for the win. Obviously, that was in the build-up to the derby week then. What are you normally like on derby week, Mark? Because I know my half fella doesn't sleep much.
I hate them. I would happily play 36 games a season if it meant not playing Liverpool twice. They're an ordeal from start to finish. I detest Liverpool to such an extent that I don't even like seeing them play at Goodison Park. I don't. Do you know what? It sounds pathetic. I know what it sounds like, but I detest them attacking. I detest them threatening our goal. It's just I hate Merseyside derbies. Always have. Can never relax. And we don't win many.
It's not like you'd lose any more air about it, don't matter.
It's fallen off my arse now instead of my head. So
nearly done an hour there without mentioning your
age. Shorter than ever now. But yeah. What about, it's just...
To be honest, Mark, the older I'm getting, the less I get less worried about it, and I just think what'll happen. And I was excited Saturday night. I was, you know, having a drink, thinking, oh, I can't wait for this. The sun was shining Sunday. Like, these are the games that we live for, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
I totally get that.
A Kone overhead kick at the Gladys Street would have capped it, like. But there's so much anticipation and the passion. I love the passion from both sets of fans, to be honest. And I love the fact that we've got a rivalry. You know, if you were in a city where there's just one club and you pick a rivalry from 28 miles up the road, it's not really a rivalry.
No,
is it?
It isn't. There's no,
you know what I mean?
There's no local passion there. There's not even though Liverpool didn't have a scouser on the pitch.
We share Brazil. We share families, we share scouts, a lot of things.
We stand behind each other in the queue for the bread and milk, don't we? You know, the lackey and stuff like that. It's just one of them. But it was, the whole thing itself. I just don't like it. I liken it to going on a roller coaster.
But Mark, you had to be confident though after the West Brom win.
I was confident, but I'm never confident with derbies, right? Because no matter how bad Liverpool seem to be, we'll always seem to usurp them in how bad we are. We always seem to be that much worse, so that Liverpool end up meeting us in the middle. You know what I mean? And you know, I think if Liverpool had played anyone else that day, Arsenal, United.
Well, just that come down to our cutting edge, though.
I think this mental block is...
Your Watford at homes, your Swansea away, your Liverpool at home. Are we winning them games?
Alexis Sanchez is on the pitch there, that's 3-1, isn't it?
And that might be the difference. But obviously, we started with I'm not even going to say a weakened defence, because that does them a disservice.
Absolutely.
A very chop and change defence. We failed to mention earlier about the Stones injury in the Reading game, Mark. That was my fault, sorry, forgot that. But Stones come off with a knee injury in that game, and he hasn't been seen since.
We all thought he'd be back with Coleman, didn't we?
When I saw the team, I thought, fair enough, that Funes Mori's been banging on about, he's played in the Superclásico or whatever it's called.
River Boca.
And to be honest, probably makes the Merseyside derby look like a walk in the park.
I've seen Argentine football, it's not really the best, to be honest.
It's not the best, but the rivalries are fierce, aren't
they? Oh, 100%. If he played in La Bombonera, then he should be alright to go to Sunday.
Galloway started, Funes Mori started.
Yeah.
Jerry got a start, Delafoe. A bit Twitter behaviour for him, Jerry, isn't it? Coleman and Stones were out. Naismith started, and to be honest, Naismith's the sort of player who, what he lacks in sort of quality, people will say, oh, in a derby, he'll give you a battle. It turned out to have him, he had a nightmare, to be honest. But you know, like Tim Cahill had a bit more quality, but
he was
on our last, wasn't he? He wound people up in derbies and big games, and he wasn't the best footballer, he'd probably admit that himself, but he rattled people. And think, remember when Naismith came on against Spurs a couple of weeks ago, he rattled the Spurs players within about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think he got Eric Dyer's back and a few of them, didn't
he? I think he got the nod over Kone for probably that reason. As it was, the irony, one replaced the other, didn't he? And Naismith had a nightmare. Kone
even though
contributed a little bit. When
said Naismith was sensational. What game was he talking about, the Chelsea game?
Well,
for me, the Naismith, you know, if he's not scoring, he's falling.
Naismith, he didn't do much right on Sunday. We praised him there against Chelsea.
Yeah, we'll take it away for the Liverpool game.
He was poor. So anyone in the Echo, I don't know, I don't read the Echo anymore, Mark, to be honest.
No, I don't.
I think I ever have.
I seen it on Twitter.
Let's
someone
not go
come
there.
Up saying Naismith. Yeah, no, it sounded like I did then, didn't it? No, I saw it.
Like another Echo podcast.
And I'm trying to get back in with the questions and answers.
Still nothing's happened over there, has it? Anyway, chances in the first half. I think it's safe to say Liverpool had more possession, more corners, didn't they? Seemed to have an endless list of corners.
About 18 in the first half, didn't they? Be all right if you had over 12.
We had the more gilt-edged chances, though, didn't we?
We did. And much more. It tends to be the way in derbies, doesn't it? Liverpool dominate possession, look a bit more likely on attack. And then out of nothing, we create two good chances, don't we? You know, which. I thought the keeper done pay for them, for both of them. Although the first one was a bit more for the cameras than the second one was. But what I liked about Naismith's chance there in the first half was the ball in from Barkley. Not often you see a ball that central. You know, normally it ends up in the goalie's hands or gets over it. You know,
perfect time perfect on it.
Ball in.
Anywhere else in the goal and that's it.
Oh yeah, it's the quality of the ball again was you know, Naismith heads that 2 inches to the left, it's in, isn't it? You know, such is the quality on the ball in from Barkley. But I actually thought Jagielka hit the second one. I thought it was Jags who hit it, but it was McCarthy, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was.
Great save. It was going in as well, wasn't it?
Before we could even you know, get to have our warm changs, because it was roasting in Goodison on Sunday as well. I mean, the changs roasting anyway, no matter what busy season it is.
Roasting QPR on December 9th.
But before we could get to that, Everton found themselves behind and a cheap goal to concede.
Yeah, it was pathetic. A lot of people blame
that's
no,
it, but we won't say
I can't. It was just so poor. If you're going to concede to Liverpool, you want it to be a free-flowing move and there's nothing you can do about it. But a ball in, Barkley got some blame there, and I can see why. You know, obviously he's in the wrong position again. But that's him out for me.
Should he be on the striker, though, in that position, Barkley? He's not the biggest lad, is
no,
he?
No, Danny Ings looks like he was in Buddy in Elf. Maybe at the start, you know, is that Ings? Oh, I don't know, he's gone. You know, a little extra at the start who you don't see. He's that small, and he's got the beard as well, which goes with a few of the Elf cast. that ball in is 3 yards from our goal. Now, any keeper worth his salt is coming out and gobbling that right up. Howard, worse than a star jump, decides to put his feet in cement and stand there. And it was, I mean, the goal. He headed it in almost with an apology, didn't he? No.
I just think that some of them, Howard thinks I'm going to get less criticism if I stay on my line and they score.
If
I come for it and fluff my lines and it ends up in the back of the net.
Yeah.
But surely your defenders and your supporters watching it would like to see a goalkeeper who's very experienced for international and in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Come and command an area. Now, he's not a 6'5" goalkeeper. We all know that. But he's an athlete. He's got spring. Why can't he come and throw a fist on it? You know what I mean? Or why can't he come and catch the ball? And I thought that was just one occasion against Liverpool.
Yeah.
There was a number where I thought, come and get the ball, lad. Stop leaving Jagielka and Funes Mori
to deal with
everything on such close quarters to the goal. Because ultimately, if the defender's dealing with it, it can go anywhere.
There was a couple of instances in the second half where, you know, the ball's going out for a throw-in to Liverpool and attacking's area where Howard could have easily come out and got it. But the defence had to deal with it and put it out of play.
Tefo.
You know, he's not commanding, is he, enough?
I just think with the defence playing confidently as they are, and the likes of Tyus Brown and Brendan Galloway coming in and making such an impression, surely they should be looking to the likes of Tim to come and be backing them up with aerial prowess. Like, and to me, his major flaws are he's beaten quite easily, we know, at his near post, and to be honest, when someone goes one-on-one, but his aerial lack of ability and his distribution is always being his weak points. And they're the things that he could have, you know, everyone says he's a good shot stopper, but he is an athlete that can get about the goal.
Yeah.
But why can't he get up in the air and get the ball away then? Why is he leaving it to the point where he should be coming and knocking Barkley out as he's clearing it?
If you look at the likes of great keepers like Neuer, I'm not saying he's Neuer, or I know Peter Cech had a nightmare at the start, but they take the ball at height. Now, when Howard catches the ball, it's always dropping down. You know, that's the impression I get with Sam Howell. When the ball comes in, it's always on the way down. You know what I mean? Whereas these keepers come up, look magnificent, jump up, you know, up head and shoulders above the defence and take it. With Howard, I always think there's a risk someone getting a nick, a touch, you know, and beating into it. He's always just not commanding enough. Any goalkeeper, probably 8 out of 10 keepers would have gobbled that up.
I think so, and you know, people might listen to this and say you're sort of contradicting yourself, because I was trying to defend Lukaku before. Don't get me wrong, last season I sat here and I slated every single one of them players and that manager. And I'll give praise when it's due. And to be honest, Tim Howard isn't always bad. Against Southampton away, he was great.
He's
against
been
Spurs
a lot
away,
this
he was great.
Season.
He has, not
the answer,
but,
is he?
But no, to me, I've said it for the past couple of years, I think we should be looking now to building for the future. I don't know whether Robles is part of the goalkeeping plans long term. Robles has got his faults. He came in for last season and you know, he done well.
he was just getting that's not his safe. Groove back and then yeah. got taken out, wouldn't he? You know.
But Tim, I think he's got too many flaws now for what we're looking for in quality terms and his age.
Yeah.
And what we're getting, we need to be looking beyond that now and really investing in that department for the future. Yeah, because
I'd like to Jack Butland, you know.
Yeah, and we're looking like Sir John Muddy and that who've gone over the years, and I know Muddy come in for criticism last season for Norwich, but you know, these are involved in the England setup.
Yeah.
And we need to be really looking in that area and not just relying on Tim. I think because he's been at Everton for so long, you'll get some fans who just refuse to criticise him no matter yeah. what he does.
Yeah.
Whereas there's quick to jump on the back of Lukaku just like, because he's got a big price tag. Yeah, it can yeah. be. I think a lot of surely Evertonians watching that on Sunday though surely must agree that the keeper could be doing more.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ross Barkley deserves criticism as well, and the defence as a whole for letting it drop but.
Ross Barkley really shouldn't be defending a ball in the 6-yard box.
Well, no, shouldn't. Yeah, I mean, that's just not for Jack Gilford or Martinez to.
If you look at Jack Gilford, I'm not quick, they were magnificent, but they were all at the far post, weren't they? It was Barkley central.
At the end of the day, Danny Ings is a striker.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that area, isn't he? Yeah. And he's going to poach, and that's what he did. But before, you know, before we had time to moan and groan about it, we went up the other end. Delafoe, he was low key, wasn't he?
Yeah.
They just couldn't get the ball to him in the first half. Well, in both halves, to be honest.
Yeah, and then his confidence dipped as a result of that because he wasn't involved in the game. And then he sort of, I think he was trying too hard then. And then his first touch was off.
He likes to be the star man, don't he?
I think the moment when he sort of misconsoled it and went out of play, he summed it up for him, didn't it, really? But that said, I had a conversation on Twitter, was that he was poor, but without that ball in, we're not getting that equaliser out. You know, it was another key contribution to a valuable point. You know,
and Lukaku took his goal well, didn't he?
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, first of all, another terrific ball in. Khan completely panicked. I think he volleyed it right against Skirtle, wasn't it? Somebody was putting his Nivea on his arms. Really, also been defending, if you ask me. But you know, that's I'm just taking a swipe, but no, I mean Lukaku, it's who you wanted to drop to, isn't it? You know,
especially the way he's playing.
Not many strikers, you know, that's in the back of the net when he gets in that position, don't you? Yeah. You know, and brilliant finish, just a confident finish, wasn't it? You know?
That was it then. I mean, at half time, we felt more relaxed. We thought,
yeah,
hang on, you know,
like we burst Liverpool's bubble a little bit,
back to level. And second half, I thought we were the better side. Yeah, Liverpool do have a lot of possession and a lot of midfielders, but I thought we were the better side. I thought we looked hungry. We went for it. We were not just prepared to settle for a 1-1, and that's been the case in the games we've talked about earlier, where West Brom, Reading, where we have got back level eventually, but we've gone for broke. Maybe we could have done a bit more about the Liverpool game, and maybe Roberto, maybe it was a bit like straight swapping in his subs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lennon, who didn't do an awful lot when he came on. He had a chance, like, but
I thought Coney should have come on a lot earlier.
Yeah, I think that could have made a bit, because Coney's influence now is a bit unpredictable, and players won't know what they're coming up against with Coney.
No, but he's playing with confidence, which makes his unpredictability a danger.
And he's linking up well with Lukaku.
Yeah.
So,
but I thought Liverpool were really poor second. I didn't feel under threat at all. They went attacking. Sturridge is clearly.
I can't remember Howard making many saves, but
no.
I mean, the only other subject really from that, Mark, is the performance of the referee. And I don't know about you, but I mean, as soon as you see the appointment, you get your doubts then. But even for the first half, I was on the left hand side of Glad Street, and the linesman, he must have missed. The ball went out of play twice and he was looking to play the line. There was just so many incompetencies.
Yeah.
And our fans were like, look at that and go, do your job. There was a couple of offside decisions at the street. It ran right through the officials, to be honest. Atkinson with
the whole team.
The quick free kicks. The Lucas incident. Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
And I thought the Ross Barkley and the Emery Charm was handbags, but he gets his card out.
It was embarrassing, that.
Yeah.
I thought
Lukaku and Sacco as well.
To be honest, after the game, I never spoke about the game. I just spoke about the referee on Twitter because I was absolutely disgusted in his performance. It's like the guy was unremorseful that he was with Liverpool that day. He was going to, you know, he clearly has got no conscience given what he'd done to Rodwell a couple of years back. The cleanest of clean tackles. Yeah, he lets Lucas get off with about, what, 9? maybe 8 or 9 challenges that were bookable offences. You know, Lucas had enough to be suspended for the rest of the season in one game there, and he didn't even get sent off, he got subbed. Atkinson was there was one instance where my head nearly fell off, was when Everton were trying to play a quick free kick down the right, and Atkinson blew up when we had a chance to sort of break on Liverpool. And then second half, exact same, almost identical situation, same again, we're out of position, Liverpool play a quick free kick, and he's like that, waving forward, pants down, round his ankles. You know, I know it sounds, you know, but it was 3 bags full. I said, you absolutely, why have we got a red shirt referee in this game? It was unremorseful, wasn't it? He couldn't, I don't think he gave us one decision against that. It was 90-10, easy, in their favour. I just thought, you're spending billions on players, that's where I go off on a tangent. You don't need any help off referees, but they're still getting it. Maybe this devil's pack runs deeper than most, but, you know, Atkinson...
The FA should know better to put him in charge.
A known Liverpool referee should not have been in charge of that. I mean, you know, he bottled it, Lucas, he didn't bottle it with Rodwell. And that's the difference. That's the difference. If that had been Gareth Barry doing all them fouls, we'd have been down to 10 men. No problem. Absolutely disgraceful. And it's gone unreported. It's like, it's allowed. How can you allow a guy like that to put in a performance like that and then just carry on? It completely undermines the Premier League.
Incompetency to the highest level.
He's a disgrace.
But that's enough about Atkinson before you snap this table or this laptop or something over my head. But obviously it was a bit cagey at times, but I was proud the way Everton played.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of our fans sensed that, you know, if we're ever going to beat Liverpool, the time was now. And it was disappointing, but
yeah.
I'm looking at the overall picture and I'm thinking, you know, we've got 3 wins, 4 draws, and just 1 defeat so far this season.
I mean, at the time, I thought missed opportunity.
We've got something to build on, though, Mark.
Yeah, we have.
I'm talking overall here. I know that Liverpool, we've drawn too many. Obviously, we want them draws to turn into wins, and if we had done, we'd be probably second place.
It could easily be 5-2-1, that.
Exactly.
You know, easily.
And I think, you know, if we beat Swansea or we beat Liverpool or we beat Watford, then we're in a much better position. But I still think there's a lot of positives come from that. And we're going to listen to what Roberto had to say after the game in a second. He said, you know, if it wasn't for Mignolet, we probably would have got more out of the game. And obviously, there was them chances in the first half. There was a couple in the second half. But I think overall, there's lots to be positive about. He also talked a little bit about like Galloway and players like that. To be honest, I want to talk to them in a bit more detail in the middle. But the likes of Funes Mori, Browning, Galloway, Ross Barkley, Lukaku, they're all kids who I've just named.
Yeah.
I know Funes is a bit older, but they're all kids. And the way they performed in, you know, three of them.
Yeah.
Browning played at Anfield, didn't he, last year?
He did, come on.
Galloway and Funes Mori, you know,
breathtaking. Funes Mori second half.
Looked like being in the Premier League for two, three years.
It was like Ratcliffe once, but you know what I mean? It was like it didn't impact on us at all in being a new starter, or we didn't have to compensate for him being in the team in any way. He just slotted right in second half. Galloway, just different class.
Well, anyway, this is what Roberto had to say after the game.
Tactically, it was a terrific approach for both teams, completely different systems. And from our point of view, many, many positives. Disappointing to concede a goal in the manner that we did, being a dead ball situation, a little bit of pushing in the box, and those actions are always cheap actions in order to concede goals. But the reaction was magnificent. We got into what we wanted to do, we scored from open play, we created 2 outstanding moments that Mignolet was sensational, and Stephen Nesmith had and James McCarthy shot. And then after the second half, we went from strength to strength. I thought we were even more secure in what we wanted to do. We controlled the big moments. When you need a little bit of luck, maybe in front of goal, maybe that final ball that needs to be there, maybe that decision that you could have got in our way and maybe leave Liverpool with 10 men for the last 15 minutes after Lucas Leiva, in my eyes, it makes a very important tactical or technical foul, and I should have been given as a second yellow card. But overall, extremely, extremely pleased with the reaction, and more importantly, the debut of many inexperienced players in these sort of games that they did today, like Tyus Browning, Brendan Calloway, and Romeo Fuentes Mori. I thought they were all outstanding.
So he mentions there about the reaction, and I think what we've spoken about, Mark, is the fact that we're going a goal or two behind to then see a reaction. That's probably a fault. That's something we need to work on. But the fact is, last season, we were going a goal behind, we were seeing no reaction, and we were lifeless, we were rudderless, we were leaderless.
Yeah.
We lacked creativity, we lacked a bloody clue at times. And this season, we're going after people, and he is proud of his team's reaction, and I know he gives a lot of spin, Roberto, but I'm proud of the way we're playing this season so far, Mark, and it's restoring a bit of faith in this manager and these players, because I know the capabilities are there, and I'm not just talking about Roberto's first season, because you know there's different players there now as well.
Yeah.
I know Everton have got the capabilities to do something special, but I always just feel like we never help ourselves. And I think now, with the players that we've got out currently, if they all come back in the next 2, 3, 4 months, I think we could do something memorable. Now, whether that's winning a League Cup, whether that's finishing 4th, 5th, you know, last season we finished 11th.
Yeah.
So people could say we're finishing 10th improvement. Well, no. Actually, Everton have been top 6 and 7 for the past 12 years.
Easy.
We need to be up. Back there again, 5th. Who knows? It's more like a top 7 this season.
Yeah.
Your Southampton, your West Hams. It's who can keep it up the longest. If Everton can consistently, they've only lost once so far this season, and they've got dealing with injuries and suspensions so far, and injuries to key players that don't get the media attention. Seamus Coleman, John Stones, Tom Cleverley was brilliant for the first 2-3 games. He was going to be he bought him to be a first team regular. He's out.
Yeah.
Who else is injured?
You've
got Bezic, you've got McGeady, you've got Pina, Morales suspended.
Yeah.
Who else? Luke Garbutt has been injured, Leighton Baines. The list goes on.
Yeah.
When you talk about it and you think Galloway's in there, Browning, Funes Mori, they're not regulars. They shouldn't be playing at the moment.
But they're stepping up.
So
then. And then when you people who come in, your replacement step up, that's when your squad looks stronger.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you remember Lukaku went off injured last season or when he joined, and we looked massive gap up front, you know. It's that type of thing. But now we're not missing Baines, we're not missing Coleman. We are. Of course we are. But it's not hurting us as much as it used to.
Because you've got the quality in depth coming in.
Like you say, yeah.
To be honest... We moaned about the lack of signings, didn't we? Because we feared, but we don't know much about Tyus Brown and Brendan Galloway, Funes Mori.
Yeah.
We didn't want to have to rely on the likes of McGeady. With all due respect, Osman, and maybe some would say Pina, Kone. But these players, I'm hoping, the likes of Osman, Pina, McGeady even, Hibbert, Coleman. I know people would say, well, I don't want them at Everton anymore, and I've openly said it in the past, but if they can get back to fitness... And if they inform and play their respective part in the three competitions that we're going to ultimately be involved in, if we keep going in the League Cup, then I'm excited.
I am. I love a good moment, you know, but there's not. I just can't find it within me to be critical of this Everton team. It's a team that I think is firmly on the right path. I hope this doesn't blow up in our faces and then, you know, we're looking stupid, but there's just I don't know, I keep saying it, there's just a feeling around this team, not the club but the team itself, you know, that we are starting to realise how good we can be, you know what I mean? I know it's, you know, we've got a really tough couple of, you know, if we can come through this next 2 games unscathed, I think the belief's going to go through the roof.
Well, to be honest, Mark, even if we lost against United and Arsenal, I'd still be confident about the way we are at the moment, and obviously I don't want us to lose games, but
I think coming through unscathed would lift us to a lot, you know what I mean? Like,
of course. And I think obviously Christmas and November is a busy time.
Yeah.
But I feel like the belief is being instilled back into this Everton side, and when the chips are down, we've got the players who can drag us out of it now.
Yeah.
And defensively, I couldn't be more proud of the way we've turned it round defensively.
And not with that regular back four. It's not like he's...
Exactly.
He's had to cope with injuries the worst.
Look at Phil Jagielka.
Yeah.
How he's turned it around. Look at Brendan Gallaway there. At that Funes Mori. He looks a snip at 9 million.
Yeah.
The other day, didn't he?
He did. Just slotted right in next to Jagielka. Like I said before, he just... I was really pleased for him second half because he looked a Premier League player, didn't he?
Aerial.
Above, yeah, control on all the ball. In fact, he gets his confidence. He was going on a 50-yard run, if you remember, in the second half. Made up for him. Browning is less spectacular than Galloway. I think we can say that, but Galloway is... You know, you're looking at another John Stones potentially there. He's that good.
What about Galloway's tackle against West Brom?
Yeah, I mean, that was about, a minute before we scored. To make it 2-2, that would have made it 3-1, I think, wouldn't it, with Berrino?
He gets forward as well, lad.
Yeah, and he wants to get forward as well. He's not just being told to do it and, you know, looking like Unsworth down the left in the 90s.
From that position, he was a centre half, I think, one of the MK Dons. That position, Baines, Garbutt, Oviedo, let's be honest, he's not going to be involved too much this season. For now, then, now to us end up playing with Galloway and we've found another star. We could end up with three quality left backs. We've got three quality left backs, and when they're all back to fitness, you wouldn't kick Galloway out of the team at the moment, would you? I think it comes down to like Robles last season.
But it also keeps letting Baines on his toes.
Yeah.
He's not going to drop the leg in the left back.
I think Baines isn't getting any younger, he's getting more injuries, isn't he?
Yeah.
But even Garbutt, you're thinking, is he going to find a place in centre half for this Galloway?
A lot of people disagree, but I've seen Garbutt live and he's got it all. If he wants to, you know, he's got pace, he can defend, he can get forward, he's got a great ball in.
That's a really exciting position.
Sense of, a strong team coming through here, isn't there? You know, like a bit like United, 92, dare I say. That's certainly got that level of quality going into
fighting for positions.
I think we've got the best defence in the league.
Look at the midfield, if you think you've got Barkley, McCarthy and Barry, three really informed players. Yeah. McCarthy goes under the radar a lot. But then you've got Bezic, Darren Gibson.
Yeah, if you look at...
Cleverley.
You're right. That's our strongest position, but now defence is looking at our strongest position. So then, we did let ourselves down with not getting another striker badly. But if we can sort of keep it going until January and then do what this board never does and strengthen properly in January and really go for it, seize it, then there's possibilities. But what I want to say is if you look at how City have suffered without Company, and they look hopeless at the back, forget the six goals. For us to lose Baines, Coleman and Stones and still defend to, the level we have been, West Brom aside a little bit, for great credit to the management, I think.
Any other side in the league making up the numbers like that with a makeshift defence, it's a two-page spread in the news. This kid's come in and there's no mention, is there, about Brendan Galloway? There's no mention of this. And to be honest, that's
long
just always the
end. So,
it's low-key, innit? We'll just go about doing our business.
Yeah.
I'm fully confident that we can get a result against United, who, they look short of ideas against Arsenal, didn't he? So
just got blown away by Arsenal's quality in the first 18 minutes. But United, I always struggle to see how they win so many games. It sounds like I haven't got a clue, but you know what I mean? But they got good players, and Marshall certainly looks the talent, doesn't he, up front? And he's got that sort of new club when he's hit the ground running and he's scoring goals. Hopefully he'll start a little bit of a dip against us.
Yeah.
But good players never... I always remember Ronaldo, he never seemed to do much as good as him, did he? But never seemed to terrorise us the way he did other teams.
Yeah.
I think Marshall's nowhere near that, but hopefully we can start to do what we've done to them the last three seasons now.
I think we beat them three seasons on the spin.
Hopefully make it four, and this team is going to look, particularly when you see that top four, it doesn't look the strongest top four in the league. If we can start getting in there and start making a move.
Well, it's United at home, Arsenal away, Saturday tea time, that one.
Yes.
Then Norwich in midweek, then Sunderland on the Sunday. Sunderland at home on Sunday. Who picks these?
That's a rough one, that.
It's being moved, Annie, because it was a Saturday.
Feel sorry for the Sunderland fans that are coming down early on us.
I just feel sorry for Sunderland fans in general, to be honest.
To be honest, like, can we have the bottom three the way it is now? Sunderland, Newcastle, Villa. That's everyone's favourite bottom three.
The league
three,
would be so much quieter, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Oh,
just
be peaceful.
Yeah, don't like any of their fans, to be honest.
No. Or the managers, to be honest. Like, well, one of them just lost the manager, but.
Yeah, Avocat's gone, hasn't he? So, you know. No, but. These are games that after Arsenal, they all look winnable. You know, Arsenal away, I'm not going to say we're going to win because
we never really do anything
at the Emirates, do we? But you know, and they're playing some quality football, but they got Bayern Munich right before them as well. So you don't know.
Yeah.
What kind of an effect that?
There's a lot that can happen, isn't it? I mean, we could come back at the end of this month and be looking back on a few disappointing results. Let's hope we're not. But the way we're playing at the moment, I've got no reason to believe that we will. So, I mean, just to finish off, Mark, there was we've mentioned about the injured players that we've got out at the moment, some informed players as well. We've touched on it slightly, but I know I wanted to just have a quick word on Ross Barkley before we finish up.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you in particular you wanted to discuss?
No, just the team itself, I'm just really impressed with us, even though we haven't played well for 90 minutes, you know. We haven't been blown, we haven't sort of destroyed teams, or what I'm trying to say is, it's obvious that, you know, there's massive potential there, and I'm really pleased with how Martinez has turned it around, because I wanted him gone last season.
Yeah.
I'm pleased for him, because I fell in love with the guy the first season he was here, and we just, I don't know, he seems to have understood now where we're going as a football club, and I think, you know, my thoughts on the board are clear, they undermine it a little bit with what they do, or a lot. But on the pitch, we seem to be a good side, and I think everyone's realising now that we're a good team, you know, and I'm really pleased that we're playing this way. I'm totally relaxed about us, which wasn't the case at all last season.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's good to hear. I mean, since we probably started recording the podcast, I think this is the 21st episode.
Yeah.
There's been about three that have been upbeat. So, you know, let's enjoy it whilst we can. But
absolutely, yeah.
I'm quite relaxed, to be honest, Mark. And I think Roberto's just, like, basically, pardon the language, but he's grabbed the club by the bollocks and just said, you know, last year was hopefully a blip.
Yeah.
This season we're gonna prove to everyone that it was a blip.
Yeah.
Maybe Europe did hamper us. And we're going to come back fighting this season. And so far, it's not perfect, but it's been a good start.
Absolutely.
And I'm confident, and I'm glad that you're confident as well. And I know we put out on Twitter, didn't we? Just to basically get the feeling from our fans, because obviously, no matter what time of day or day of the week, you've got our fans going on a mad one on Twitter. But
absolutely.
We just basically put it out there to say, what's your assessment of the season so far? Still only early days.
Yeah, we had Neil Martin tweeted in on the field. He's really happy, especially with some of the outstanding youngsters. The squad strength's a worry. Galloway's been that good. Baines may find it hard to dislodge him.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, he's been fabulous. And the highlight of the season was the Stones Cruyff turn in his own box against the schoolyard bullies. That was his favourite moment. He goes on to say Barkley's good in the number 10 role. Lukaku, an absolute beast in some games. I wish fans would get off his back, which we've said all.
Anything.
Ben's tweeted in, very hard to beat with the form of our defence. And Barry McCarthy are giving us the platform to win games.
Go under the radar, then, too.
And they've really improved this season, Joe, 1878, tweets in, don't look as predictable as last year. Poor finishing has letting us down, but our youngsters are boss. I mean, that's standing out, isn't it? Jeffertonian puts, we're boss. John Stones, Barkley, made Khan flapper. Lukaku is equivalent to Costa. We're getting top four. Galloway is compared to Alaba, and he loves Jerry. A lot of people don't like Delafoe, but I don't know why that is. I'm guessing this fellow as well, Schleer Gravel, tweeted him. The future's bright, excellent young squad. The back four is sorted for years. Very solid start. Richie Moore tweets, massive improvement on last term, although his missus is now being blamed me for last season for no season ticket now. Oh, so he must have
given it up because
must have been fickle. Last season, you will pay for your fickleness. and then we had a few people turning. Mr. Lee, tweeting, Martinez looks to have learned last season, learned his lessons from last season. We look hungrier, sharper, and better defensively.
I agree with that, yeah.
I thought, yeah, the hunger's back, isn't it? You know.
We look sharper, though, yeah. We look fitter and sharper, yeah.
Greg, he's put in, they still need a new top goalkeeper who commands his box and stops losing his points.
Well, I mean, let's not
we're not going to disagree
it,
with
yeah,
that, are
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
Dean P. Mumps tweeted in, big improvement on last season, but that wouldn't be hard, would it? We still need a keeper, a striker, and a number 10. I totally agree. And this is where I think, you know, that's where we ought to have strengthened in the summer.
It's ifs, isn't it? We're doing okay. But if we would have
if
sealed a deal for, I'm not saying a Yarmolenko, but a player of that ilk.
Well, you could see us winning that game on Sunday.
Exactly, because you've got that cutting edge to your squad.
Yeah. And the last one off Hugh Priest. He's put a good start. The squad is as good as it's been for years. Just got to keep going every game in the Premier League. Loving me.
He's loving it, yeah.
We all do.
It's fair enough, Hugh. But I think that's the thing. Like, obviously, Funes Mori, with the exception, we're relying on the likes of Brown and Galloway to come in. And these lads, it's good that they're good enough, because if they were not good enough, we'd have a very much, it's makeshift at the moment, but it's makeshift, and we're lucky that we've got some quality youngsters there, because otherwise we'd just be making up the numbers with kids, and it might not work that way, and confidence is key. And but I think that overall, the confidence is there within the squad. I just wanted to end by saying, I think what typifies it is Ross Barkley, and I've seen him basically become, it looks like he's just become such a mature footballer,
a man,
in the past.
Like.
Yeah. I mean, we all know he's a man anyway. But
yeah, but you know what I mean.
He's come of age. Do you know, even his little set two with Emre Can the other day.
Yeah.
I just thought to myself, he's got it now. He's got the bit. He's got the bit between his teeth.
Yeah.
And players are scared of him, and he's doing these little fancy touches, and he's knocking the ball around. Last season, he's doing a pass too many, or he's doing sign up. Bit of daft, bit of skill this season.
But I think
you can see the double all up on him.
Yeah.
They're trying to stop him, and he's banging in free kicks. He's got three goals. He's got assists. He's linking up with Delofo.
Yeah.
He's linking up with Lukaku. He's such an exciting prospect, Barkley, and I'm so made up for him, especially after last season with all the boo boys, and it was again, couldn't like the Lukaku criticism. A lot of it was unjust. People just look for people to blame, and Ross, because he's like at the forefront of our creativity, it's a big weight on his shoulders.
Yeah.
If he had the ball 20 yards out, people would expect him to ping it off the bar.
I know.
Like Rooney-esque, you know what I mean? It's not going to happen.
Totally agree.
There's a weight of expectation on these young lads. And all the lads we're mentioning here, they're like 21, 22, even younger. Some of them, Delafoe's 19, isn't he? You know what I mean?
You're talking 10 years worth of players.
I know they're paid a hell of a lot of money, but there's a massive pressure at Premier League clubs.
Yeah.
A massive pressure at Everton. And ultimately,
particularly with the way our season,
so the pressure's on, the microscope's on even more. So I just wanted to end by saying that about Barkley, that I'm so happy to see him turn his form around, and he's inspiring. It's an inspiring form at the moment for this club.
I second that totally. He's almost, you know, being like the Paul Bracewell in there, that sort of, you know what I mean, Colin, what's the word, link between midfield and attack. He's perfecting his number 10, isn't he, role, which he's had to do in that position, because we didn't get what we wanted in the summer. But I think, I thought Barkley would be better deeper, but he's proved me wrong totally.
Such a ball player, such, he wants
just
the ball.
You're right, attracts.
Slides,
so he frees up space for other players.
But, but that's it. If two or three defenders are chasing after him, Delofoe's got space, Batmanel Arce has got space, you know,
Lennon play, in that case,
even further back, McCarthy or Cleverley, when he comes back. I'm excited by his form, Lukaku's form, and overall the team, to be honest, defensively.
Yeah.
I just think maybe we need to maybe look at an investment in the goalkeeping department in the future. And I agree with the lads what they've tweeted there about the number 10 and the striker. That doesn't go away just because we're doing okay.
No, it doesn't.
The need for that doesn't go away, but it's, you know,
that's what we can, the key is to keep everybody fit.
That's
absolutely, because we can't afford.
But we're not doing that at the moment, though, are we? So it's like, if we get injuries,
I think we kept Lukaku, Barkley, Delofoe fit, and they've been the sort of the crux of our good start to the season, haven't they? A little bit, you know.
We can't afford,
I mean, apart from Stones and Barry.
I know it sounds daft, but we can't afford to be losing the likes of Jagielka, your Barry, now your Spines, your McCarthy's. You need to keep them fit and keep them in form and keep them playing well.
Yeah.
And let them go under the radar, but let them keep ticking over whilst we're getting results.
Absolutely.
And then introduce the likes of your Pienaars, your Morales, and then put obviously Stones and Coleman will probably get the places back straight away.
Reading these players off, we're just going to win the league.
Exactly. Bain, you know, you've got Baines. Cleverly was probably one of the best players for the Pairs.
Brilliant.
Played four games today.
Southampton, fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. And you can see why Roberto's bought him, but you know, there's lots to be excited about, and obviously we've got them games coming up, Mark.
Yeah.
So we'll have an awful lot to talk about.
Again, yeah, it's great.
Just on the schedule of podcasts, but we'll do them more frequently now.
Yeah.
More holidays out the way, and
yeah,
it's been quite busy, hasn't it? Really.
It's been mental, but things have settled down now, so we can start making it regular. I know people have gone without their little. I've had a few people say missing me fix, which is nice. So hopefully we can.
Well, it's nice if people want something to listen to. This is probably a good time to do one in the international break.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've done a long recording here because we've covered a lot of games, but this will build us up nicely to the United game. I think we've got a mate, haven't we, who's a United fan, Dan.
Yes.
Who we'll probably do a United preview with.
He was funny last year, like Dan. He was, downbeat, wasn't he? I think he'd be a bit more confident this time, maybe, about his chances.
I think so, yeah. I mean, he was texting the other day about the Arsenal results and he wasn't too happy about that, but I think overall he's more pleased than he would be when we spoke to him last.
Yeah, looking forward to meeting him. I think, Arsenal just destroyed him.
We'll come back before then. We've got United, Arsenal, Norwich and then Sunderland, so we've got a few to try and fit in before the end of the month.
Four wins we'll be commenting on there, no problem at all.
And we're also having the Everton Supporters Trust on soon.
Andy, who's been direct messaging me, is keen to come on the show. And to be honest, I'm keen to listen to him to see what... Because I'm not really... We should be, you know, but I'm not really clued up on what all that entails. So it'd be good to get an insight into that.
He can come on and have a say. And,
yeah.
You know, we've always said from the start we'll have more guests. It's just the logistics of getting the guests together and someone letting us rent their pub out for the night. You know.
Empty pubs, that's what we need.
That's when it gets a bit messy.
Yeah, we don't need Wetherspoons with the piss heads in the corner screaming at us.
Like the season review one. But anyway, thanks very much for listening, everyone.
Thank you very much.
And a reminder that we are available on SoundCloud, Everton Fan Focus. iTunes, Everton Fan Focus, all one word, or I think it comes up if you put in all one word. We'll also potentially upload to YouTube soon, which I think it just gives a bit more people accessibility depending on what platform you use. So, as ever, thanks very much for everyone for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
See you now.
See ya.
Bye bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.